Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I hope you are as excited as I am about the return of the Lord to end the wickedness and vileness that has permeated this earth caused by corrupt, godless men and women like the current administration and the sickly, woke Democratic regime here in America, and all the atheistic, globalist regimes that have taken the helm of many nations and are steering the course of this world into a violent conflict with God Almighty. The Christian's hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish His earthly kingdom, while our unyielding faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and His bodily resurrection from the grave when He first came to the earth to bring salvation to whomsoever believes. So, a quick overview of the Olivet Discourse. It is a sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This discourse was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during the dispensation of grace on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon his return. He admonishes that believers need to be prepared and alert for his return through fervent prayer and obedience. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. There are 7 parables in this discourse by Jesus, which I identify and explain. Different aspects of this discourse address specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God." But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them.
Luke tells us here, "I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left." Now, you say 2 men in the bed. You know, there was a day and age, you know, the sodomite crowd accuse Abraham Lincoln of being a homosexual. That's because in that day and age, when you went to an inn and you needed a room to sleep in, they didn't have hundreds of hotels with high rises and 100 rooms in them. And you had to share, if you got rented a room, you may have shared a bed with another person. In that day, that wasn't odd. Today, that we would think that's very odd, don't you? But in that day and age, you just needed a place to plop your head down and get some rest. They didn't have any sexual thought like goes on in our minds today. That was purely innocent. There was very little, few inns when they traveled. And so Abraham Lincoln would be in a hotel room and rent a room and they would rent the same room to somebody else, and you had to share a bed. So, "I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. 2 men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Number 5, it implies that that thief-like, only the costliest goods are removed. Those who build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in their life with gold, silver, and precious stones are those costly goods. Okay? Implies only the costliest goods are removed. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Not all believers are saints. Carol, when you were young, Dr. Dixon preached in the church, there were only 2 classes of people, the saved and the lost. I'm sure you heard that many, many times. Judy, Jerry, I'm sure you heard that many, many times in the church. When Dr. Dixon learned about the kingdom, he realized there are 3 classes of people. There's the lost, there's the saints, and there's the believers who are steeped in sin. So the saved crowd, there's 2 groups. Those who build upon the foundation of Christ with wood, hay, and stubble, and those who build upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Number six, it implies that there is no evidence of their whereabouts once taken, secretly concealed in the air. How many thieves have got away with their crime? They may have gone to jail, but they never got the goods on the criminal. He hid them. And people are still looking for the whereabouts of their hidden treasures. People are still looking for pirates' treasures on abandoned islands all over the globe. It implies there is no evidence of their whereabouts once taken, secretly concealed in the air. Number seven, lastly, it implies that constant watchfulness and unbroken vigil throughout the night is the sole preventative of the burglary. Since no thief gives warning of his coming, the same applies to the Lord's coming. Absolutely no warning. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray. And ye know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. You are his servants. He has left you behind to do his work on this earth, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. If the pre-tribulation rapture is a hoax, and that Jesus was coming at the middle or end of the tribulation, then there could not be this thief likeness, because every plague unleashed upon the earth will trumpet another alarm bell that the rapture is even closer, which surely strips away the secrecy of this startling return. In the words of John Calvin, God intended that the time should be hidden from us, for the express purpose that we may keep diligent watch without the relaxation of the hour. So what does all this watching mean? It means praying, getting into prayer, reading God's word, staying in the church, staying spiritual minded. Ask the Lord for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Cry out to God for forgiveness of sin. The book of Revelation also reveals this thief likeness of the Lord's return. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, be watchful. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now this thief characteristic, is we're going to delve into it again when we look at the 10 virgins in chapter 25. We will get even more details of this thief likeness of being ready for the return of the Lord. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. That has a twofold meaning, a spiritual meaning and a physical meaning. Means we're living in a world that's wants to take their clothes off. More and more so. Reveal more and more. Keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Possibly during the tribulation period, people may just walk around naked. If you're binary, why should you not walk around naked? If I've got the thing, you're neither male or female, right? If you're a cat, then you don't need any clothes on, because cats, you don't put clothes on cats. But the world is getting unglued. It's coming apart. And we need to be watchful. Yes, you're going to be odd when you stand for the Lord. The closer you get to standing for the Lord and for the things of the Lord, you're going to be an oddity to the world. You may be an oddity to your own children. An ominous warning for the church of God if they are not asleep spiritually. Okay, an ominous warning for the church of God if they are not asleep spiritually. This is neither directed to the Jew nor the Gentile because they cannot spiritually discern this truth. So this is a warning to the church of God. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. There's that word ready. Ready. It talks about in verse 6, chapter 11 of Isaiah, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, okay, the goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And there it is. There's some of the words that we were reading. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. Shall lie down together. Now, when a bear sees a cow and sees a calf, today that bear will be on that calf, or the moose calf, or whatever calf it is. They'll go after it. I mean, they'll take down a full-grown moose, a bear. And I've seen moose chase elk in videos. I've seen moose chase elk for miles and take down an elk or a caribou, and even through water, and they take them down. But here, the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Ooh, you hear that? That's how God created these animals. They were all herbivores. They didn't eat meat. They were herbivores. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Well, why did God give them such big teeth? Sharp teeth. To rip flesh and no, that wasn't God's design for those teeth. It's to eat bark and eat maybe a tree limb and eat straw here, as it says. But God gave them the teeth. They use it today to eat meat. In verse 8, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. That's a poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Another poisonous snake. And the child will not be bit, will not be poisoned. The snake will not bite. How many people in this room are scared of snakes? Are you scared of snakes? Sometimes you wake up in a cold sweat and thinking of a snake in a nightmare dream or something. But the snakes are even going to be. Now, Dr. Carl Ball, I think I've told you some of this before. Dr. Carl Ball did research. Dr. Carl Ball is of the era of Dr. Dixon. At one time, he had one of the largest churches in America. He was written in that book that with Dr. Dixon with the Indianapolis Baptist Temple about the fastest growing churches in 1971. But he got into creation and he built one of these geospheres. What did you say? Biosphere. Like a biosphere. Yeah, biosphere. a geosphere, and he discovered and published that if you increase the oxygen in that biosphere and increase the pressure, the atmospheric pressure in there, and increase the percentage of oxygen, venomous snakes' venom does it diminishes the poison. And he proved, and they worked it out, they did an experiment that they were able to reduce that venom to be non-toxic in snakes. And he wrote a paper on it, did research on that. They were going to try, the state, his facility is in Glen Rose, Texas. In Glen Rose, Texas, what launched him was he discovered and set him as a major figure in creation science. He discovered human footprints with dinosaur footprints in a riverbed. And that was the first evidence of human footprints next to dinosaur footprints that were solidified and frozen in sedimentary rock, and they've now discovered it all around the world. But that launched him into that career, and then they built a biosphere. They were going to put a human in there and vegetation and all kinds of things, and the government, I don't know if it was the state government, federal government, prevented them from doing that. They wouldn't give them approval in doing that. So look up Dr. Carl Ball, but that's what one of his major results of. So when the kingdom comes, God is going to put more oxygen in the air. And it's believed that at creation that there was a higher percentage of oxygen. What's the percentage of oxygen in the room here? Only small percentages, 21%. What's that? Yeah, very small, very small. Most of this room is filled with nitrogen, which is an inert gas, doesn't do us any harm. The only thing is, if this room was 100% nitrogen, you would be asphyxiated. You wouldn't be able to breathe, but it has 21%. Well, they believe it could have been as high as 30% oxygen in the air at the time of creation, and that most likely in the kingdom age, the Lord will increase the oxygen level also. Also, the pressure of the air, pressure pressing on your body right now, is 14 psi, pounds per square inch. And that would also possibly doubled during the time. So that is the reason people live longer, because you get more oxygen in your body. Oxygen kills bacteria and virus, so your body is healthier and lives longer, and your cells are healthier. And so that's a picture. Now, what we're talking about in the kingdom age, in the tribulation age, let me show you a contrast to what you just read and what we just sang there. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Now, this is going to be an incentive to you to get right with the Lord if you're not already there. For every one of us, for every believer, to get right with the Lord, to be prepared for what we're studying in the Olivet Discourse. Listen to this. Now, we've talked about the four horsemen. You have the white horse, the black horse, the pale horse, the red horse. And verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth." And remember, I did the 8 billion people on the earth. I said fourth part would be 2 billion people, right? Would die. I didn't finish reading that last time. But look what it says. the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, okay, so war, famine, and with death, pestilence, whatever. And look at the fourth one. You see that? With the beasts of the earth. Now, most animals have a natural fear of man. Okay? Most black bears, I'm not saying grizzly bears and polar bears, but black bears have a natural fear of man. Unless you startle them or you are too close to their cubs, they will come after you. But mostly they will stay away from you and run away from you. They have a natural fear. But during the tribulation period, they're not going to have the fear of man. All the animals are not, that is going to be lifted during the tribulation period. That's scary. Animals attacking. Animals killing. You know what God did to Israel when they were disobedient? He brought lions in. He allowed lions to come in and start attacking the people. And so during that tribulation period, it's going to be a scary period of time. So this warning, this Olivet Discourse, is important to us. It's very important in preparing us and these parables that we've been dealing with. So we've dealt with the parable of the fig tree. We dealt with the parable that deals with Noah, the days of Noah. The return of the Lord will be like the days of Noah. We dealt with the thief, how the Lord will come back as a thief or like a thief. And he is not the thief, which is Satan, but he comes back as a thief. And now we're going to look at the parable. So you should be on page 16 in your notes. The number, Roman numeral 8, and it says the fourth parable, the faithful versus the evil servant. And this is 45 through 51, the last part of chapter 24. And so let's read that in your Bible. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Okay, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Okay, so there's a lot there for the faithful, and we'll look at that. Now, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he has. And this parable parallels with Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verse 30. And we'll look at that next week.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.